You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. To face your first challenge and to find out more, head on over to TrekFan.org.
Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hey there, kids. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
We have what I think is going to be a long-awaited and excited... exciting episode for you all, because we're going to talk about one of the most popular characters in all of Voyager, Seven of Nine.
And sometimes probably even all of Star Trek, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
Yes. She is that good in some people's eyes. So we're going to have plenty to talk about. Let's put it that way. Why don't we just dig right in? Let's start where we always do, at the beginning, and talk about our first impressions of Seven of Nine. So when she came aboard at the very start of season four, what did you think? Lori, why don't you start us off?
Okay, well, to start off, I didn't know any of the background stuff about what was going on, why they brought her on there. I hadn't read anything. I was just casually watching this show. So my very first impressions were she really knew what a Borg was. I was very impressed with that. She was very succinct. She was, like, intimidating, all that crap all over her body. It looked very Borgish, and I mean, I didn't have any hate for her right off the bat. I thought this is pretty intriguing, and I was thinking about this today. She, when they finally decided to keep her on the show, one of my very first impressions of her was that she seemed like a project, like one of Janeway's projects, her reclamation projects, like Tom Paris and Neelix always strikes me that way, too. So, I don't know. That was my first impression of her. Somebody kind of a broken person who needed to be fixed. And I don't know. She didn't fit in right away, but that was okay.
Sure. And when you were, just to clarify, when you were talking about all the stuff happening that you didn't know about as a casual viewer, you're talking about all the drama behind Jennifer Leon's exit.
Exactly.
And then Jerry Ryan. Okay, wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
Tristan, how about you?
I was in sixth grade when this...
you baby!
Yeah, I know.
That's not the word that popped in my head when you...
Oh, really?
Go ahead, continue.
I kind of want to know what word popped in your head.
Yeah, I do too.
Raging hormones. I think that is
more to the point of what I was trying to make. Yes, I was in sixth grade when this episode came out. And I had a bus buddy who I would go to school with, who was just as obsessed with Star Trek, if not more, who I'd see every day. And he lived down the street, and he loved Seven of Nine. Like, he's the one who told me about it. He's like, yeah, Kes is leaving, and they're bringing in Seven of Nine. I was like, what's a Seven of Nine? And and then, like, later that day, I see a TV Guide magazine with Jerry Ryan on the cover in her cat suit and little eyepiece and everything like that. And so I was like, oh, cool, that's who we're getting. I'm okay with that. And, of course, you know, my voice was cracking and everything when I said it. And then when I saw Scorpion, I was like, hey, whoa, hey, this is not what I was promised.
Yeah. Where's that cat suit?
This is some hot mess.
Yeah, this is not at all what I expected. And but no, like, I cannot stress how stupidly obsessed with Seven of Nine I was. Like, my buddy, like, printed out pictures and, like, taped them up and, like, kept them in his wallet, gave me a few. He's like, yeah, here's, you know, here's some, so we can always have some Voyager characters with us. And And like he would like read every single novel. I had a book that was the best Seven of Nine centered scripts, like the episode transcripts in one big like coffee table book, and I would read it constantly. Like I had the episodes taped, but no, I read them as well because I didn't have like a portable viewing device. I guess that's what you could call a book, but and so, and like I had a Seven of Nine like cardboard stand up, as you guys know.
Yes, yes.
And it just, it was ridiculous. And of course, I feel like that's, you know, a huge demographic that they were going for was blood loss to the head males like myself.
Most definitely, yes.
And it worked. It totally worked. And, you know, once I got older and became an actual human being instead of just a 12-year-old, I realized, I was like, okay, she's not just a hot woman. She's actually a good actress, and they have some pretty decent stories. And so, like, that was, like, it's an incredibly long story, but that was my first reaction, was just like, oh, yes, awesome, turning into, okay, that was a good decision.
You're funny.
So I have to ask, where is the Seven of Nine cardboard cutout now?
Oh, she's at my parents' house. She's in the basement right now. She was in my old room for a very long time. Actually, wait, is she still up? She might be hidden in the closet. I'm not quite sure.
You heard it on To the Journey. Seven of Nine's in the closet. Tristan's closet, as a matter of fact.
That's right. So if there's any rumors, that's the closet she was refusing to come out of.
Okay. Hey, now you know.
Yeah, when I got married, actually, when I was dating and engaged to my future wife, that was the room she slept in when she stayed over the weekend when I was still living with my parents, and I slept on the couch. And the first thing she said was, if we get married, those are not coming to the house. And in true form, they're not here right now, as you can see behind me. But once we actually move into a house.
Make.
Yes, it was true. I could either have a wife or a cardboard cut out of Seven of Nine.
You made the right choice.
I think so, too.
I think you did.
Yeah, most definitely.
I forgot another story. I'm sorry, I keep going into this. But, like, while I was in sixth grade, you know, like, that's the grade that they give you a flower sack baby?
Oh, okay.
Do you remember
that? Actually, for me, it was seventh grade because I took home economics. But, okay,
well, it was around that time. Like, what I did was I had a flower sack baby, and I put Seven of Nine's picture on it. And that was my flower sack baby. And I built her a miniature alcove.
Oh, my God.
This is so awesome.
I built it out of wood. I painted it. And that was her bed for, like, the couple of weeks that I had the flower sack baby.
That is so awesome.
I think I have pictures of it. I think they're stored somewhere. And I actually sent it to Jerry. I almost called her Jerry of Ryan. Jerry Ryan. on Twitter, and she said that she loved it, and it was so awesome that I was just like, man, if only I could have told sixth grade Tristan, you're going to be able to show the actual actress how big of a nerd you are that you made a card, like a wooden alcove, and painted it for your sourflack baby version of her. That's so creepy now that I'm saying it out loud.
And you shared it with her, and she responded.
I shared it with her, and she responded. And it sounds creepier than it is, but...
The thing is that Jerry Ryan can appreciate that level of nerddom.
Yes, she can. She is a fantastic presence on Twitter, and she's really great at responding to her fans. And I can't speak higher of her when it comes to her acting and also her fan appreciation of Star Trek.
She's very definitely kind. She is.
Absolutely.
But I've talked enough. You guys keep going. I'm sorry. I'm monopolizing.
Oh, but I like your stories.
I do
you
too.
Share as many seven stories as you want. These are awesome. I don't have a flower sack baby to share.
You were never a 12-year-old boy, so you have an excuse.
No. I mean, I did have Star Trek action figures, but I don't think I ever used them for school assignments. Let's put it that way. If I could have, I would have. I guess I either wasn't that creative or it just wasn't able to happen. I don't know which. Okay. Well, my first impressions of Seven, a little different from you guys. I did not fall in love with her. In fact, I really resented the fact that she was there. I knew a little bit about what was going on behind the scenes with Jennifer Lane's exit and was not really sure how I felt about that, because while Kes wasn't a favorite, I didn't despise her either. And I didn't see why she needed to leave this show. And when I saw the cat suit photos, I'm thinking, there is only one reason why she is on this show, and that just disturbed me. I thought, we don't need this, okay? We were breaking so-called ground with a female captain, and now you're going to do one step forward, two steps back, because you're going to cater to the TNA. Really? Let's cheapen the show that way? I was mad. I was really freaking mad. However, first impressions aside, as the series did go on, thank goodness they gave Seven of Nine such rich material, because if she was just a eye candy, I think eventually everybody would have just said, oh, she's a horrible character. Why did they do this? What a mistake. But they turned her, they gave her such a rich backstory, gave her really good material to chomp on, turned her into, I think, one of the best developed characters in all of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jerry Ryan just busted up everything she got and made the absolute most of it. She gave that character an extraordinary life. So I can't fault Jerry Ryan at all for it. I just wish she would have worn better clothes. That's all.
Normal clothes.
Just like a uniform?
Exactly.
Yeah. Even Troy converted eventually.
She did.
Yeah. I completely agree with you guys on the clothes. Absolutely. You can't argue that. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, if you see behind the scenes photos and video of her, like, just like walking normally like a human being instead of like a, you know, a stuck up Borg or something like that, or when she's just casually lounging in a chair, she looks ridiculous in that suit. And people have even remarked that, like, when you're standing next to her in real life, she's essentially naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's essentially naked is what she is. And it's just, it is ridiculous. Like you said, they brought her on because they're like, okay, we need to make the show sexier. It needs to, you know, bring other viewers in. That's exactly what they did. And thankfully it wasn't just that. Like you said, it was, you know, they actually had rich stories,
right?
But if they wanted to have an excuse for TNA, like appease the networks and say like, okay, we're going to do this, but just do it for like a season and then say like, hey, okay, you don't have to wear this ridiculous costume anymore. Or 6 months or something like that. And then as much as I'd love to see her in a Starfleet uniform, like a blue one, because I think she looked great in, what was it, Timeless?
Relativity. No, not Timeless. Relativity.
Thank you. Relativity. Thank you. Relativity. I always get those, the time episodes screwed up.
Time, relativity. Makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I did think she looked great in the blue uniform, but I would have liked to have seen her in something a little different, like a some sort of like commissioned Starfleet uniform, but something that was unique to her because she didn't hold a rank. And
okay.
I know people will mm-hmm. say like, oh, well, you know, there's tons, like the Equinox crewmen, you know, it was just a crewman because they didn't have a rank. And whether you're Maquis or whatever, you're still not officially, you know, Starfleet. You're just a commissioned officer or whatever you want to say. I'm using the wrong terminology, but you know what I mean. I'd still like to see her in something unique, something different. Something
right.
like Tuvix X.
We didn't compromise. She could still wear civilian clothes, and they still could have been flattering for her incredible figure, but they didn't have to be skin tight. And I mean, for crying out loud, poor Jerry Ryan was wearing a corset. It took about an hour to take her out of it so she could go to the bathroom. How embarrassing could that have possibly been?
Right.
Knowing every time that you have to go to the freaking bathroom and it's this big ordeal. Man, don't drink anything all day.
Seriously.
Seriously, yeah. And also on top of that, it's just they betrayed themselves with the episode Somewhere, Someone to Watch Over Me. Because he said, he's like, oh, I've been dabbling with other designs for you. If she can wear that kind of dress and mm-hmm. still be okay with her Borg implants, which is why I need to put you in a skin-tight outfit.
Yeah. Which was the lame excuse. Yes.
You can make her a Starfleet uniform or something else that does the same thing.
Yeah. Come on.
And on top of that, if she needs to wear something skin-tight, you can drape something over it.
You sure can.
Yeah. Hello, layering. I grew up in the 90s, and when grunge was really hot, you have the skin-tight bodysuit, and you put a flannel shirt over it and jeans.
Look at the first contact uniforms. Those things have like 5 layers.
Yes, they do. We were talking about this on the Ready Room a couple weeks ago, how those things have got to just be incredibly hot to wear.
Yeah. All that wool. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all wool. Ugh. Yeah. And so there's no excuse. And all you can say is like, yeah, no, it was so that we could have people's eyes get much bigger when they turn on the screen.
Oh, definitely. That's all it was.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but that is such short-lived appeal. People aren't going to tune into a show every single week just to look at Jerry Ryan's bus line. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
And as beautiful as it is, okay? she's got a beautiful figure. Don't get me wrong. But that can't be the same reason why you're coming back every week.
Let's hear from Raging Hormones.
Yes, please.
No, you're right. Like any sensible Star Trek fan, I mean, the reason why you watch Star Trek is not for the action, not for the phasers, not for the hot alien babes, not for the green women, you know, nothing like that. That's not why we watch Star Trek. That's all bonuses for whoever you are.
Right, that's the fun stuff.
But yes, the reason why we come back is for the good storylines. But the thing is that nobody wants just hardcore Star Trek viewers. Look at J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. Nobody wants us. They know they're going to get us. And yeah, so they know that we're tuning in every week.
Yeah.
They want other people. And look, go to YouTube sometime. Look at the videos that are most popular and most watched. Everything in that sidebar is girls in bikinis.
Exactly.
People will click on it and people will watch it. They don't care what the story is, or they don't care if it's like corporate law in the analysis of Section 32B, paragraph 7, as long as a hot woman is reading it to them in a bikini. And it's sad, but it's true. I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
But they knew what they were doing, and if they wanted to get that extra viewers, that's what they got. But
that's our culture.
That's a lot on the cat suit, so I think... Yeah.
Okay, yes, let's move on from the cat suit now. We've said our piece.
We have.
The next thing I want to ask you guys is, you know, okay, once Seven got on board, we saw a lot of Seven. And I want to know from you guys if you thought that they overdid it just a little bit, like almost trying to overcompensate for the cat suit by not only did they give her good stories, but they gave her a lot of them. What did you think about that?
It was a little much. I mean, I enjoyed watching her. Like we talking about that episode one. That's an amazing episode. She's a great actress, but
that's a great one.
It was overkill to a certain point to me. I mean, spread it around a little bit. Some of those stories had to be unique to her, like giving her backstory and this
Raven.
Raven. Yeah. And whatever makes her unique and Borg, the story had to go along with that. But other stories, such as nothing that's coming to my mind right now, could have been given to other characters. I don't know. I mean, it just seemed much to me. A little much.
Well, the thing is they did do so many Seven of Nine and Borg stories.
They did. Yeah, they did.
And I feel like they really did go overboard with that. But Tristan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, when you ask the question, it's a resounding yes to did they go overboard. A resounding yes. It's way too much. I mean, I love that she's fleshed out, and I love that we got to see so much backstory. We understand this character probably more than any other character besides maybe Tom and the Doctor. But it's just too much. I mean, like, you just know that when, like, Harry and B'Elanna and Tuvok got the scripts and Chakotay got their scripts, you know that they had to roll their eyes going, oh, great, another Seven of Nine episode.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of Star Trek fans were doing that, too. Like, really? Again? This isn't Seven of Nine in the Voyager crew. This is Star Trek Voyager.
Right. Exactly. Yes. It's not the Seven of Nine show. It's not even what some people say devolved into the Seven of Nine, Janeway, and Doctor show.
Yeah, the big three.
Because they kind of became the triad, the big three. And yeah, I feel like they did so much Seven material at the expense of other characters they already had.
They
like
did.
B'Elanna, like Tuvok, like Harry, like Chakotay, and... You know what? It really wasn't fair.
No.
That's the thing. You have a great ensemble cast. Use them.
Right.
And that's the beauty of Voyager is that we had great characters who work together, and they were great on their own, and they worked as an ensemble. Like, I love Chakotay episodes. Oh, I'm probably not going to see one for another 17 episodes.
Yeah. If you're lucky. I mean...
If you're lucky.
Right.
I mean, as much as Robert Beltran complained about the show, if I got script after script after script, and I had maybe less than a page of throwaway lines that any other member of the cast could say, you know what? I would get frustrated, too.
Yeah.
That's totally understandable.
That's just busy work.
Right.
Exactly. It's busy work. Like, yeah, you're collecting a paycheck, but...
That's it.
Exactly. You're still getting paid very handsomely for your work, but it's not challenging you in your craft.
Right.
So I can't understand why you'd get bored and frustrated with that, especially if you are capable as an actor. I mean, Roxanne Dawson, anytime they gave her really good material, and most B'Elanna stories were, she ate it up.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they give you more?
Right.
And for crying out loud, throw Chakotay and Harry and Tuvok a bone every once in a while.
Right?
For real.
Because you can pretty much forget that they are there sometimes.
I love Chakotay, and you guys know how much I love Chakotay as a character, but once Seven came in, it was just like, okay, that's it. Like, no more backstory except for a few people here and there.
I need to find something from Shervin, because he has actually broken down how many episodes featured each Voyager character as, like, the main central character. You know, what is the story about?
Really?
And Seven of Nine regularly, once she got on the show, had an average of 7 episodes per season out of, like, what, 24, 26 a season?
That's crazy.
That's more than a third.
There were 9 people. That's crazy.
Uh-huh. So I need to find this compilation because it was very eye-opening for me.
Mm.
And whereas Seven got 7 episodes, B'Elanna would maybe get 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's
a little unfair.
Yeah.
A little discrepancy.
It's a wonder more of them didn't complain, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, I guess they are professionals and they know they're there to do a job, and they just go out there and they do it. Also, some of them started getting interested in directing, and maybe acting wasn't as important.
Yeah.
By that point. I don't know.
I have a question for you guys, though, if you don't
mind. Do it.
Go.
Now that we've talked about, you know, like, what we thought of her and like, the catsuit and how much she was featured and everything like that, let's, you know, like, I'd love to know what you guys think about the guts of her backstory. Like, did you like the idea of a liberated Borg on the show? Like, did you think it either cheapened Locutus or just enhanced it? Like, let's boil it down to that. Like, what did you guys think about that?
You know, the more that we learned about Seven, interestingly enough, the more that I did like her. Because she does have an incredible backstory. I didn't feel that liberating her from the Borg was a cheap idea or anything like that. It didn't weaken the Borg, in my opinion. I did think that it made sense how she got on the show, and I liked how she was so resistant at first, and she's a constant needle in Janeway's side for, well, pretty much the rest of the series, but especially in season 4.
Yeah.
She's so defiant for every little thing. I mean, she reminds me of a young adolescent who's doing the exact opposite of what mom and dad want her to do.
Yeah.
So she really does come a long way from that person to someone who is trying to develop a social life and start dating.
Mm-hmm.
True, true. And, I mean, I appreciated watching that development as a character and seeing her kind of regain her humanity. And, like you said, learning, taking dating lessons, not understanding why being polite was important. I mean, things like that were interesting. I like seeing that with Hugh in TNG. That was he was kind of more cutesy when he was doing it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I don't think it really took anything away from Locutus. Not really. I think it added to the fact of what we could understand about the Borg, maybe more than what we understood from Locutus. I mean, really, it was so all the things that they do to someone's body. It's just like, oh,
yeah.
Graphically.
Yeah.
Ugh. Horror.
I would have loved to have seen Seven of Nine meet Picard. I would have loved to have seen that reaction, because remember the interaction that Hugh had with Picard, where he treated him like Locutus. Like, that Borg knew Locutus, even though they were not in the same ship. He knew Locutus, and he was frightened of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved to have seen that kind of reverence from Seven of Nine. Like, say, like, just an imaginary, you know, episode where for some reason Picard had to contact Janeway over subspace once they, you know, used the relay network or something like that. And then Seven of Nine was there, and you just see her eyes go wide. And
oh my God.
Wouldn't that have been great?
And she's just kind of like, it's like the Borg, it's like a Borg version of a rock star, you know, like, or even more so than that. Like, maybe that's the wrong term, but just.
Yeah, because it's not something like, oh my God, it's you, I love you so much. It's holy crap, it's you.
I'm scared to death. Yeah.
Maybe like a political / pseudo religious figure, you know? Like, you were going to be the right hand of the queen. You know, and you left us, and I left the Borg too, and so we have something in common. I just wanted to see that reaction, like, not to make a whole storyline out of it, but just, I don't know, do
just
something.
Just that moment.
Like, yeah.
Sure. Well, there were rumors when they were making Star Trek Nemesis that they were going to have Seven of Nine make a cameo, but Jeri Ryan declined because she was doing, what was it, Boston Public?
Boston Public,
yeah. Boston
okay,
Public.
I get that confused with Boston Legal, which I think had William Shatner.
That's correct. And also, Jeri Ryan was in an episode of Boston Legal, too.
That just confuses it even more.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Anyway, they wanted to have her, and I think that would have also been an opportunity to have that kind of interaction just for a fleeting moment. I mean,
because
Janeway's cameo is just blink and you're done.
Yeah, don't look away. Definitely.
Yeah, and they were talking about the same thing for Seven. All right. Well, before we close out, any final thoughts on Seven of Nine?
We need part two and part three of this podcast in order to talk about Seven.
I feel like we just scratched the surface of this one. We could talk about so many things with Seven.
And that's the problem, is that they gave us so much material that we would over... Like, even if it's affecting our own podcast schedule, that we could do three times as many character analysis episodes as a B'Elanna or Tom or Neelix or, you know?
Yeah, yes. Seriously, we could just do an entire episode on her arc and how she developed.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That alone.
The reason they brought her on was a stupid reason, if you look at the story... like, it was a smart decision marketing-wise. We just got lucky that it was a great character with great backstory and a lot of talent from the actress and a lot of in-depth analysis. And she worked well with the crew. And, you know, I mean, and I mean that in a sense from a story standpoint. She didn't always get along with the crew or work well with them. And that was the great part about the story. I just kind of wish that we got her... evolution to humanity was two times faster.
Oh, so you wanted to see her develop, well, more, but more rapidly as well.
Yes, I feel like she was a little stagnant for too long, that, like, yes, she evolved and, like, had great strides, but I feel like they could have been even greater. I feel like we could have gotten that Seven who had a dalliance with the holographic Chakotay by Endgame. Or maybe not that far, but I feel like we could have gotten closer to that. I feel like we were much closer to Scorpion 7 than we were holographic Chakotay Boyfriend 7.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I see your point.
I would have liked to have seen her advance a little bit further, and I feel like we could have had a little bit different stories instead of the same old... Seven's piss at Janeway because, oh, Janeway told me to be an individual. And when I try to think for myself, you smack me down. We got that episode probably seven times.
At least.
We understood that. We really got it. Point made.
Exactly, Lori. And I feel like if we evolved her just a little bit faster, maybe not two times, maybe just 1.5 times, you know, we could have made her more human and a little bit more interesting towards the end. Because I felt like, oh, it's just Seven being Seven now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
But that's just my opinion. Yeah.
Now that you mention that, I really like that idea. Because it could have gotten into some interesting ideas of Seven finally reaches a point where she kind of gets it.
Yeah.
And she's mm-hmm. living a lot more independently, and suddenly she doesn't need Janeway so much anymore, and Janeway could have gone through empty nest syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suppose my final thoughts are that even though I really despised the character at first, and I really disagreed with the reasons why she was on the show, I did eventually grow to like Seven and accept her, and I appreciated her for who she was and what the writers were doing with her. They did give her an incredible arc. She was fun to watch, but dang if I didn't get sick of her toward the end. I'm sorry. After we got that seventh Janeway versus Seven thing, yeah, like, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Had they varied it up a little more, maybe I would have not gotten so bored with it, but I really just thought, no, we've been there and done this, and it just felt like they were running out of ideas.
That's what I was thinking. Exactly. Yeah.
And I know that after 700 some hours of Star Trek, yeah, you probably are running out of gas. But,
but still,
I was kind of glad, actually, when Voyager got to its seventh season, knowing it was going to be the last season,
mm-hmm.
that, I was okay with it, actually, which that might be a podcast in and of itself, is what we think about the end of Voyager. But anyway, so I don't know. As much as I did not like her in the beginning, she gave us a lot of great moments.
Yeah.
She did make me laugh.
She was very funny.
Her incredibly straightforward approach, it definitely created comedic situations, and so I did appreciate that. I do like her now. It's just, yeah, kind of a flawed thing, but hey, nothing's perfect.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think she was a business decision that really turned out to be a great character, and I was glad of that.
Well, I think that's the perfect note to end this show on, guys.
Before we go, we need to tell you about our sponsor, TrekFan.org. Everybody needs to go to this website. This is a very interesting website. It's part mystery, part puzzle, and once you crack this code, you will only want more and more. And I'm not going to say anything more than that, because seeing is believing, and this is incredibly interesting.
We would like to not beg, but ask kindly. For your feedback on iTunes, on the forums, on Twitter. We love talking with you guys. We love 5-star reviews on iTunes. We love it all. Mm-hmm. So the more you give us, the more we're going to give back. And so please, by all means, just keep it coming. Next week, we're going to do a episode commentary. Just because we haven't done one in a little while, we're going to cut loose and talk about Blood Fever. So look forward to that next Thursday, and until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!
To the Journey!